disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown!" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly, the storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked them, "Where's your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him."
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for inviting me this morning. It's great to be back. And thank you for all of the wonderful baby items that you brought for our clients. And we're looking forward to a wonderful time of fellowship afterwards as well. Now, I know that many of you already know about and support the Pregnancy Center, but in case there's any of you out there who may not be as familiar, I'll let you know in a nutshell what we do. We have been in the Sioux for 30 years now, serving Sault Ste. Marie and surrounding area. So that includes you. And our whole reason for existence is to help men and women who are facing an unplanned pregnancy, to give them emotional and physical and spiritual support in the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. And so all of our services are free, and we offer pregnancy tests and options counseling for those who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy and are unsure what to do. Now, as a Christian ministry, we do believe in the sanctity of human life from conception to natural death, so we do not refer for abortion. But at the same time, we don't lecture or judge anyone either. Everyone is treated with respect, no matter what they choose. We just want people to know that there are alternatives to abortion, and that there is support, and there is hope. So whatever the circumstance is for the client that comes in, we want them to know that we care, and we're going to walk that road alongside them, and that they're not alone. So providing that ongoing emotional and practical support, women can be encouraged and equipped with what they need to carry their baby to term. So we offer a pregnancy and parenting education program where clients meet with a support worker each week. That's before the birth and after. And they earn baby bucks when they do this program. And then they can spend them in our baby boutique, which has all of the items that you've brought today. That goes to our baby boutique. So the clients have a chance to earn those when they're in the program. So it really helps someone who's struggling financially, that's for sure. We also have a care closet with gently used maternity and baby clothes. And we have adoption counseling. Now, we don't do the legal stuff, but we do connect them with the people that do, and we provide that emotional support for the journey. We also have a post-abortion recovery program for women who have experienced an abortion in their past and are looking for healing, and that is an awesome ministry. And we also have a group for young fathers. And that's facilitated by male volunteers. So that's been going for the last couple of years. Now, a couple of programs we're currently working on are for parents who have had babies apprehended by CAS. That's a unique situation. So we're working on a program for that, as well as bereavement support for those who've experienced miscarriage. So those are some things that we're developing right now. Now, we don't receive any government funding for our programs. That's why we're so appreciative of churches like you for your support, both as a church and individually, like during the baby bottle campaign and bringing the items today. It's such a help to us because we couldn't do this ministry without you. And if you would like to be involved or volunteer in some way, let me know. I have to give a shout out to Mark Moss and Carolyn Henderson, who took our volunteer training in the fall. We really enjoyed getting to know them. And kind of a cool story, about halfway through training, I found out that Carolyn speaks Arabic. And it just so happened that we had Syrian refugee families that had just come to the Sioux, Arabic speakers, that had babies. And so they became clients of ours, and they come and use the care closet once a month. And Carolyn came and was able to speak Arabic with these ladies, and it was just amazing. And isn't that cool, the way God does that sometimes? As soon as we would have Arabic-speaking clients, God provides an Arabic-speaking volunteer. So that was really cool. So if any of you out there as well are interested in getting involved in some way, either with the clients or maybe serving on our board, we need people to help with yard care or washing baby clothes. If any of that sounds interesting to you, you can talk to me afterwards. And 2017 is a special year for us because we are celebrating our 30th anniversary. First started in May of 1987. So we're going to be holding a special gala in April, on April the 8th. And we're going to have previous directors, Debbie Hill and Darlene Kars will be there, and past board members and volunteers and staff and clients. So it's going to be a wonderful reunion and celebration of the impact of the Pregnancy Center in Sault Ste. Marie and our greater community for these last 30 years. And we're also blessed last year to replace our deteriorating front porch with a new one. Our house is over 100 years old, and the front porch was just on wood, so it was falling apart a bit. You can only brace things so many times, right? So we knew that we needed to replace it, and last year we knew that we were able to, that God had blessed us so that we could start that project. So that's done. It's a smaller porch than before, but it's a place where clients can park their strollers and take off their shoes where it's warm, and people can drop off donations of clothes or books at any time. It's always open 24/7, so people can drop it off whenever it suits their schedule. So, you know, there's a lot more I could tell you about what goes on at the Pregnancy Center, but we're going to have a special time during lunch after the service where you can ask me questions. So if there's a particular area of the ministry that you want to know about, maybe jot down your questions so you don't forget it, but we will have a question and answer time during lunch so that you can ask your questions. Does that sound good? Yes? Okay, good. So my message this morning is about anxiety. And we find it's one of those common denominators among our clients at the Pregnancy Center, no matter what their circumstances are. Fear about what will happen in their current situation, fear about what's going to happen in the future. And to be honest, anxiety is a common denominator among humans in general. I don't know what all of you are going through in your lives this morning, but I would like to share with you an illustration about anxiety and about hope. So first, I'm going to start with a song, and this song is called Your Love Never Fails. Psalm 107, 28 through 30 says, "They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven." I wasn't always afraid of flying. In fact, I used to love it, and my earliest memories of flying were when I was 3 years old. We were going to the San Diego Zoo, and I remember the color brown, and it was the 70s, so brown upholstery was probably accurate. But I remember sitting on my mom's lap and sun streaming in through the window. It was a very warm and happy memory. And then when I was a teenager, my uncle built a biplane from a kit. He was very skilled at these things, and he took me out over the Pacific Ocean and did tricks. So, you know, loops and barrel rolls, and it was amazing. Very loud, but just exhilarating and freeing. And some of my favorite things about flying, the way the acceleration pushes you back in your chair during takeoff. The feeling not so much that you're going up in the air, but that the world is falling off beneath you. And that point when you reach the ceiling, you know, and you feel like you could just reach out and touch the clouds. And then once you get above the clouds, just how brilliantly blue the sky is, especially if it's been raining underneath. And I remember seeing the most beautiful sunrise on a transatlantic flight that just brought me to tears. But then there was this flight in 2003 in July from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles. And being July, there was a huge system of thunderstorms that just spanned the whole country from Michigan to Florida. So there was no going around it. And the pilot said it was going to be bumpy. That was an understatement. I'd never felt turbulence like that before or since. And dinner had been just served, unfortunately, and the flight attendants didn't have a chance to clear anything before they were told to sit down. So everything is bouncing on the tray tables. People are getting sick because we'd just eaten. And everyone was screaming. Now, I'm not talking just that, you know, gasp sometimes, but like literally screaming. It was pretty bad. And then there was another flight a couple of years ago where the airplane lost a generator for one of the engines. So not the engine, but the generator. And we had to return to Pearson. So with bright fixed smiles and enthusiastic thumbs up, the flight attendants rehearsed us in brace positions for an irregular landing. Anyone else been rehearsed mid-flight for a crash? No? Okay. A little terrifying. And we had to circle the airport for an hour before we got clearance to land because it was Toronto, you know, slightly busy. But I am happy to say it was a regular landing. So two traumatic flights among dozens of great ones. And so now I have flight anxiety. Even the thought of flying makes me break out in a cold sweat. And it's so annoying because I used to love to fly. And I kind of resent the fact that my body has turned against me and turned something I loved into something I fear. Now, I have faith that airplanes can fly. You know, I took physics in school. I've seen them. I've been in them. I know that they can fly. But that doesn't stop the panic that floods me every time I feel the slightest bump, making me imagine the plane is going to plummet in spirals to the ground. Now, C.S. Lewis spoke about this phenomenon in his book, Mere Christianity, on his chapter on faith. And so this is what C.S. Lewis says. I used to assume that if the human mind once accepts a thing as true, it will automatically go on regarding it as true until some real reason for reconsidering it turns up. In fact, I was assuming that the human mind is completely ruled by reason, but that is not so. For example, my reason is perfectly convinced by good evidence that anesthetics do not smother me and that properly trained surgeons do not start operating until I am unconscious. But that does not alter the fact that when they have me down on the table and clap their horrible mask over my face, a mere childish panic begins inside me. I start thinking I'm going to choke and I'm afraid they will start cutting me up before I'm properly under. In other words, I lose my faith in anesthetics. It is not reason that is taking away my faith. On the contrary, my faith is based on reason. It is my imagination and emotions. The battle is between faith and reason on one side and emotion and imagination on the other. So it's my emotions and imagination that sometimes get the better of me. Now, I still have to fly sometimes. We have a national conference that I go to every year, and I could make elaborate travel plans, but usually it makes sense to fly. And I don't want it to control my life, right? So I gear myself up and I'm like, I can do it, I can do it. And I endure the long hours hanging in the sky, heart pounding, clutching my pillow. But then one day, a year ago, there was a flight that was different. There was an empty seat beside me, so I thought, oh good, I can stretch out a bit. But then a man came and took the seat at the last minute, so I thought, well, there goes that plan. But what was unusual about him was that he had no baggage or coat with him, just a binder. A binder, I noticed, that had flight protocols and regulations, and the flight attendant called him by name when she passed by. The man was a pilot. Off-duty, obviously, just catching a ride home. And he settled back in his seat, just completely relaxed and at ease. He'd probably flown thousands of times. And his peace and confidence and authority and steadiness just drove all of my anxiety away. And we took off, and we were in the air, and I felt fine. Here was a person that really trusted the airplane because he knew exactly how it worked. And if there was a problem, he would know. So there must not be a problem. And he's not afraid, so I don't have to be afraid. And I felt this inexplicable relief, like a lost child in strange surroundings that had just found their parent and just knew everything was going to be okay. And sitting next to that pilot, I realized that all my fear was gone. And then I had one of those moments where I felt that God was speaking to me. You know what those are like, you know? And I just knew that God had sent him to me. I was sure of it. And I didn't know if he was an ordinary man or an angel, but I knew that God had sent him to be beside me at that moment because I was afraid. And I couldn't quite muster the courage to ask him if he was an angel. and I wasn't sure if I wanted to hear the answer. But when I thought about it later, I realized, you know, this message wasn't just about managing my flight anxiety, but for any situation when I experience stress and anxiety in my life. I wanted to remember that peace I felt, radiating from someone who was in the same situation as I was, but was unafraid. And it reminded me of the story of Jesus sleeping in the boat during the storm, which Shauna Lee read the gospel account earlier. I heard a children's time once where the pastor asked the kids, so what should you do when you're afraid like the disciples? And one little boy said, you wake up Jesus. And I think it's important to remember that Jesus is in the boat. You know, he's not on the shore, he's not up above, he's in the boat with us. And sometimes the storms we go through in life are literal, like that flight in 03. And sometimes they're metaphorical. And we feel like it's impossible to get through, or at least impossible to get through unscathed. But I have to remember that Jesus knows exactly how this boat works, and how the wind and the waves work, and that he has command over them. And if there was a problem, he would know. So there must not be a problem. And he's not afraid. So I don't have to be afraid. He's beside me. He's in the boat. Now at the Pregnancy Center, we see a lot of people that have made poor choices in their lives, whether it's relationships, drug use, destructive cycles, you name it. And something my husband says is, you know, they're just regular people trying to fix their lives without Jesus. But aren't we all? Even if we've known Jesus for years, know his power, don't we still try to fix our lives on our own sometimes? And how's that working for us? Eventually, we reach the end of ourselves, and we realize we don't have the power to calm our own storms. So, am I cured from flight anxiety? I wish I could say I was. That would be great. Maybe, but probably not. I'm still going to bring my pillow with me. And after all, just because you trust Jesus, it doesn't mean that all of your problems instantly disappear. It just changes your perspective. And the next time I fly, I'll probably still feel anxious, but it will be different. And the reason it'll be different is because I'll remember what it was like to sit next to that pilot. I'll remember that it was possible to fly and not be afraid. And if it was possible once, maybe it's possible again. And I'll remember that I can sit next to the ultimate pilot, the one who knows the storm. So I'd like to end with another song. It's called Refuge, written by a friend of mine.